good stuff with TJ Woods. A lot of football interviews this week as they're wrapping up spring ball. It feels weird to say that there's only 1 week left, Mitch. This was like the first week of like some good weather. I enjoyed some walks outside, being outside, and spring ball's almost over.
It's crazy. And with all the basketball craziness, it just felt like, you know, spring ball didn't get its own little stage. But
yep.
This week they'll have that with the coverage on KSLSports.com as we don't have to remind anyone, BYU basketball lost. Still getting over it, Matt. We'll move on. We'll recover. We'll get back to the grind in October.
I don't know if I'll ever recover from this one.
That was tough. You know, I think that
it's the worst tournament loss in the history of BYU hoops.
You know, we were talking about that earlier off the air. I still kind of point to Florida, but I think you make a good point that
they had won a game that tournament.
They won two,
right.
And they got to the Sweet 16, but still, that was the group that you felt like Final Four. I always got a little bit discouraged on that year in 2004 when they lost to Syracuse. They were up by 11, and then
yes.
Gary McNamara dropped 43 on them. I'm like, okay, it'd be one thing if it was Carmelo the year before, but this is Gary McNamara. He dropped 43.
But that team wasn't gifted Duquesne. That's the thing.
Right. Look, sometimes the brands on the jersey, it does kind of make you, ooh, like we're facing UConn. Like they did in 03 with Mecca Oak for Ben Gordon. Syracuse. Oh, UCLA. Cincinnati 1 year with Steve Logan and Bob Huggins. Like BYU's faced really good teams, but it just thought, man, like everything worked in BYU's favor going into this matchup. Big time conference, battle tested. You're the big bad brand in that game, and you just didn't show up. And I wish, Matt, that BYU basketball would just play well for 40 minutes in a March Madness game.
And whatever happens,
and if they lose, yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay. But you didn't play like the team that we saw beat Baylor. You didn't play like the team that beat Iowa State. Because I'm telling you, you play like that, you're beating Duquesne convincingly.
Right.
It's not even a debate. And Foose Traume isn't clapping and saying, yeah, I'm going to throw another elbow in your face. He's just mentally getting defeated going, how do I stop these guys from knocking down all these threes? And that didn't happen. So now we turn our attention to BYU football, and the countdown is on. BYU, Southern Illinois, right here on KSL News Radio, the legacy home of the Cougars.
What gives you hope for that first game? Like, we didn't spring ball. What are some things? It's a dark place for BYU Nation right now. What gives you some hope going into the offseason with football lurking in the fall?
Open the blinds a little bit, Cougar fans. Get out of the dark room. We're going to be okay. You know what? Football, it's going to have its
ups
moments where you're going to want to be in that dark room again. It'll happen. But you know what really gets me excited, Matt, is the defense. I do feel very excited about this group, and I think it's a lot of the same names. And I think that, you know, year two, it feels like there's a greater sense of comfort from the returning players on the defense of what Jay Hill and all these coaches expect on the defensive side. I think there's going to be big steps forward there. I do believe there's going to be a pass rush. Last couple years, you and I have talked a lot in our post-practice recaps that we were never willing to just buy into the pass rush. We were never sold on that, but I've seen some good things. You talked with John Nelson on the interview today, which you can listen to on the podcast. But, you know, guys like him in the interior of the line, and I know some might say he should maybe move out to the edge, and I could agree because he was really good at that spot as a freshman, but
right.
I do feel like because of the pressing need, and I think he could be an NFL D tackle going forward, I like that spot for him. I think he's going to be good. I think that some of these young players are going to step in and make a real impact for BYU. Look, the goal is to get to six, and I think also part of that six beat Utah. I think that's got to be a documented goal. I think you lean into that game. I think you say, like, you have signage already. Get the countdown clock. Like, go win that game. Because even if you win five games this year, there could be an argument where you still feel like there was progress made because you knocked down Utah and made sure they're not going to the Big 12 title game.
If you went 3-9 and beat Utah, it's a success.
I'm not the one that's sold completely on Utah stepping in and just running the Big 12, but I think their floor, because of the schedule, they probably got an 8-4 schedule at best. Where BYU, you look at Dennis Dodd's way too early spring top 25, he's got six of BYU's opponents in the top 25, one of which is their non-conference opponent in SMU, who's
right.
at 19, who won 11 games last year, and they're paying millions for portal guys. So it's going to be a tough schedule, but I do like that maybe it's a little bit of a page from basketball where they are leaning into continuity. I almost get the sense, Matt, that Kalani's a little bit spooked by the portal. Like, when he was asked about it yesterday at the alumni game, he's just like, you know, I really like our guys right now. And I don't get this sense that even in the post-spring window, it's going to be this dozens of portal additions. Like, I felt like every other day I was writing about a commit right. in the portal. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. And so it comes with from in that locker room right now and developing.
You touched on what gives me hope, continuity. There's so many mini storylines that I'm curious to watch unfold in the fall. Guys who have contributed before but didn't last year. Can they make valuable contributions this year? Cody Epps, how does he bounce back? Hinkley Ropati, we had a great interview with him. If you missed that, it'll be up on our podcast feed. Can he break in and provide some juice like he did 2 years ago at the end of the year? Miles Davis, another one of those guys. There's a bunch of tight ends that have been here for a while. Can one of them break through and take on a big role? Quarterback even. So there's so many return. Micah Harper, like, we could go on and on and on. I'm fascinated to watch all of these guys who have been here for a while who can reemerge. And then maybe a side tangent to that quickly, Mitch, would be the new strength and conditioning staff. They've been here for a full offseason now. You've heard rave reviews from players about these guys. Does that translate? Can this team be healthier if they have their full collection of top two deep players for most of the year? Does that equate to 6 or 7 wins? So it's going to be there is some optimism there, even though the schedule is really hard and it's hard to see 6 wins. It's not impossible, and it's going to be fun to watch it unfold.
And I know Cougar fans don't want to hear this, but the players do look bigger. They do look stronger. And I know that's a cliche thing, but I do think that influence from the strength staff has really helped this team. We got to get out, though. It's been a fun show, even on a tough weekend. I know it's hard to see March Madness and not see BYU playing today. Man, that would have been fun seeing BYU in the round of 32 today against Illinois. But, hey, Mark Pope and his staff get back to work, and they'll be working on that 2025 team ASAP. I know that they'll be relentless in trying to put it together to get BYU to advance in the future. If you missed any part of this show, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts or on kslsports.com. We'll talk to you Monday night for the season finale of Cougar Nation right here on KSL News Radio.